Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
You're listening to The Dialogue with Diwa de Boer on Reality Check Radio, where we discuss politics, power, and culture. Don't forget to text us your thoughts on 2057 and email any comments and questions to inbox@realitycheck.radio. We are joined now by Nobody, also known as Gareth, who's been interviewed on RCR before, and he's also been mentioned in emails from the Free Speech Union, if you get those, and his online pseudonym, Nobody or Nobody, spelled K-N-O-B, Knob, and then Oddy, O-D-D-Y. You can find him on X. But let's talk about, you know, why we're doing this interview, just in case there are any listeners who missed your interview with Cameron Slater on The Crunch a number of months ago, or maybe they're not on the Free Speech Union mailing list and they aren't familiar with your situation, because you got a visit from the police and it sort of all went downhill from there, seemingly, for you. And the police really went after you when it was pretty clear from the videos that you took. And thankfully, you did take videos and it was very clear for everyone to see that the police were in the wrong and you were in the right. So starting from the beginning, what happened to you?
Well, yeah, the very beginning was the 8th of August. I had a knock on the door about 6:30 at night. And there was two uniformed officers there, and I recorded that interaction, and that was released to X by Simon Anderson on the 9th of August. But basically, it was just me trying to not engage with two officers at my door while they were threatening consequences if I did not engage in a... Well, they weren't threatening consequences, but they were definitely implying consequences if I didn't engage with them in a conversation. While saying it was a voluntary interaction. So I just said, no, I don't want to take part. And the very last thing they said was like, look, we just wanted to let you know, there's no criminal action here. You know, we're not investigating a crime. And I said to her, no, you're investigating a thought crime, which might impact my firearms license. And she just said, yeah, I am. And I mean, that was the last things we said to each other about me, have a good night. But that did actually impact me a little bit. You know, when the cops come to your door and go, hey, we're investigating your thought crime. I mean, that word comes from the book 1984. I mean, it didn't exist before 1984 made it a thing as a thought crime. The concept didn't even exist.
An Orwellian experience, right? We get the entire word Orwellian from that book that George Orwell wrote. And that's absolutely what it was. And at the time, they didn't really say, and obviously from the video, we couldn't figure out, you know, what were these supposed things you had said online that they were investigating? And, well, we've since found out because the police came back, didn't they?
Yes, they came back on the 6th of September, which are both Fridays, which is really nice. It's the times me and my wife try and relax after the week. But they came back. I was outside. I just talked to my wife. Like, we were relaxing as we do on a Friday, She has a glass of wine. I have a couple of beers on a Friday once a week. And I was coming outside to have a cigarette. And I told my wife, hey, look, our daughter's just finishing using the toilet. Someone's going to have to go in there and deal to her. And as I said that, because she was just about to come inside, that's when I saw the officers walking down the drive, four officers walking down my driveway, armed with guns on their hips and tasers on their chests. And they said, are you Gareth? And I said, yes. And, well, actually, my wife said no at that point. But I think that was just her reaction of looking up, seeing the cops, and just audibly going, oh, no. But and then there was a bit of back and forth, like, why'd you say no? And I was like, hold on, no, like, trying to get them to direct on me. Yes, I am Gareth. What are you here for? And then he said, oh, I'm here to suspend your license. And that's when I was like, hold on. I turned my phone on, and he's like, okay, I'm just going to read you the notice of suspension. And I said, hold on. And I turned to my wife and said, can you please come inside? And that's when it all escalated and the police would not let her go inside. They tried to follow her in. It's all on video and it's quite distressing. And it did distress my children seeing that. It's pretty concerning, the video, I thought.
Yeah, the behavior from the police there was quite despicable then. And you sent me an OIA later where the police basically tried to turn this into a situation claiming that you were neglecting your kids and that they were going to arrest you for being obstructive and so on. Whereas from the video and what you're saying and what you've explained here, it's pretty clear that what you were doing is actually completely normal and perfectly fine. And and again, like the police continually chose to escalate the situation.
Yeah, and even just talking about these things, it's like making you second guess, like, are people going to judge us because we have a beer on a Friday or whatever, right? Or that I'm a smoker, or, you know, like just saying these things out loud, and there are people that, oh, no, I'll tick them on the naughty list, and you might get a bit of prejudice against you. But, I mean, we look after our kids. I work full-time. My wife is a full-time carer. You know, I have six children. The oldest three are all going to school, and the youngest three are not at school age yet. So it's a busy household, but we're just normal law-abiding people as far as I can tell. But it doesn't stop the police from investigating you for, well, what I can tell, like dozens of hours going through my personal social media, which was an anonymous account.
A little bit more on the online anonymity then, because I think that's a very topical subject in the broad scheme of things, because sometimes people want to remain anonymous online because they might have people who go after their jobs and their livelihoods, and as you see, maybe go and report people's opinions to the police or they get harassed. But even it seems like you were not exactly safe there. But do you know roughly what happened? How did the police find out?
Yes.
And connect all this to you? Because I do get concerns from people saying, hey, here's this guy, you know, nobody, Gareth. He was anonymous and they went after him. And so maybe anonymity, it's disappeared.
I believe I have evidence of that in my OIA response and request, where the police have told me that, well, they've told themselves this, but it all comes back to an OSIG, which I believe is an open source intelligence group of police officers acting within the police and potentially other agencies. And they say here that this account most definitely belongs to Gareth, and this information was obtained by the OSIG, and more details can be provided. And the fact that I was flagged at all is due to a routine sweep of the internet by the OSIG. So,
Wow.
I've got that in writing, and the OSIG are then inputting things against my police record, lodging it as information or 2I as the police code. And I have been able to obtain part of one of those bits that they've recorded as information to me.
And these bits that they're recording against your name there, then these are the non-hate crime incidents that the Free Speech Union have been talking about, right? Is that basically where the police are taking things that people have said or done that are non-criminal, and they're logging those against your name so that they can then in the future go and harass you like they've done?
Yeah, well, what this is specifically told me, I got it in front of me here. Kia ora, during routine scanning, the OSIG recently identified the owner of an X account sharing and engaging with large amounts of, quote, lawful but awful content, end sentence. The account nobody engages with concerning rhetoric, and this is where I've just been found guilty without any judicial oversight, such as racism, specifically anti-Māori, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and anti-government / police. While nothing discovered constitutes an offence, we deem it was relevant for you to be aware and take further action if necessary. And that was sent to the Firearms Resolution, or TTP Intel and Firearms Resolutions. So the police have themselves created this against me, no complaints, just police routinely searching the internet and go, hey, you know, this guy has had too much to think, but he's not breaking the law, but you should know about it.
And nobody is concerned saying, like, you know, it's not like somebody's contacted them saying, hey, I know this guy and I'm really worried about what he's doing or saying. This is purely the police deciding on by themselves that you're committing thought crimes, as they said, and you're committing these thought crimes. And because you've shown anti-government and anti-police bias, and I quote that, that's a direct quote from the police, anti-government and anti-police bias, which reading the list of offensive things that they claim you said they were anti-government and anti-police and homophobic and et cetera, most of it seemed to me to be fairly common views that like any libertarian, many conservatives might hold, things that are part of what I suspect are your religious beliefs, things that I could definitely say, well, I might say something like this as part of my religious beliefs. It's perfectly fine for me to say this. And they then turn that around and say, oh, we suspect that your intent is to promote violence. And, you know, again, they make this leap. You haven't said anything that suggests violence, nothing. I've read through all of it myself, nothing that suggests violence. Anyway, they then make this leap inside their own heads. The people at in the shadowy offices behind the police often call them HR ladies, but that may be too innocuous almost for what's going on here. It seems to be far, far worse. And they then turn that around and go, oh, yes, we claim that we think you're going to be promoting violence. And so we're going to come to your house and harass you. We're going to then come and take your firearms license. And we're going to then go and also report you to other government agencies saying that you're abusing your children or neglecting your children in this case. Uh-huh. Just completely horrific. Like this is the police trying to invent crimes. It's one of the most crazy stories that I've heard this year in New Zealand, just completely disgusting behavior from the police.
Yeah, well, I believe it is targeted harassment, but you know, where do you go if it's the police harassing you? You can't really call the police, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right. That's exactly what's happening. And even then the police, Independent Police Conduct Authority, what are they going to do? The police are going to investigate the police. No, of course they're not. So, yeah. I mean, where did you go? You went to you came to a number of different people. You ended up on RCR as well, which I think, I like to think that RCR is able to play a little bit of a role in situations like this and able to bring some sanity and shine a spotlight on corruption. Well, this is a corruption as well, I would say. Basically, this is corruption and we're shining a spotlight on that. And you also got the Free Speech Union involved, which I think was really, really great. And they made a good submission on your behalf to the police. What's your review of the way the Free Speech Union came on and helped you? Like, were they a bit hesitant? Were they a bit disparaging? You know, oh, you've been a very naughty boy, but we'll help you out. Or have they been very, very positive about what they've done for you?
Well, I want to be very fair to them. They've been very good to me. I wouldn't say open arms from the very moment you talk to them, but I emailed them maybe on a Thursday or a Friday, and this was the 6th of September event, because I talked to RCR, the 13th of August, mate. This was like weeks before the September event even happened. It was after the first event. So, yeah, they weren't exactly jumping to help. But once I woke up on that Saturday morning and I was like, look, you know, anyone who's just presented that list of 10 of my worst statements ever said over how many years, just thrown together as my political manifesto, might go, this guy's clearly a lunatic, right? If this was the only 10 things I posted and I posted it every day, you'd think, okay, maybe this guy's not really there. But I wrote something on Saturday morning. It took me about 2 hours. And I justified, I put my thought behind every one of these comments. I put the context around the comments. And this was from my account, which was deleted back in August. So I was going from memory. But I could remember the vast majority of these, and I justified them, what my thought process was, you know, and the complete context around it. Once I provided that on the Saturday, I had contact, I believe, on the Monday from at least a member, and it snowballed from there. And they had been very supportive in terms of, helping us through the legal process, or you call it, the responding to the police's letter they gave me.
Yeah. And this is really important, I think, especially to have legal support in New Zealand for a situation like this. And there can be many different situations, but getting legal support can be quite difficult and can be very, very important. And it's actually great to hear from you that, yes, with a bit of work from you and explaining them, you know, to them, hey, I'm not crazy, they were able to come back and give you legal support. And it's one of the reasons why I've donated to the Free Speech Union in the past. And I know they sent out a fundraising email about you, you know, laying out your situation and saying, hey, you want to support us, make a donation to our legal funds. And I mean, that's really great that they're doing that, and that people are able to get help like as you have.
Yeah, there's people in, well, I suppose worse situations than me, right, who are actually being charged with crimes. And that's very expensive to argue against. But, you know, in terms of what the next step is in this process, it's just waiting for a police response, and then the costs start racking up, I suppose, when you
that could happen. And of course, you mentioned the context as well, right? The police obviously took, like you said, over many years of posting anonymously on the internet, they took the 10 worst things they could find completely out of context and put them together. I still thought they were funny when I read them. I thought, even out of context, most of these are pretty funny, and I don't see how they could be, threatening in any way. But then I started thinking, like, but what if you were to read them in context? Because the police would have seen them in context. They would have seen the things you were replying to and other things you were saying. And yeah, I mean, that to go to that point again, to target and harass someone by taking things that they've said out of context. And
yes, I mean, and particularly there's a couple that, I mean, I feel like a complete, the opposite of what I said. I said these words, but there's clearly a satire post. Like, I am meaning the opposite of this. And if you read the thread, I mean, it was a joke, right? It was a joke post. It was one of my most popular posts. And the police are saying, no, you meant this literally. You know, oh, come on, mate. You know, like, if you see the context, there's no way you think that's literal. And the other one here where it says I'm threatening woman or something. And it's, oh, this one needs to be buried alive. I mean, I was quoting a video post here of a woman who was caught on nanny cam holding a knife to her husband's throat and like claiming that he was abusing the kids and all this. And then when the videos came out, it's like she went to jail. It's like, this is the video I'm quoting. And they say, oh, you're threatening woman. It's like, no, this particular woman's pretty evil.
Yeah, yeah. She was actually convicted of a crime and went to prison. And yeah, obviously you were not actually going to bury her alive. Like that,
no, yeah. She was in the UK. She was nowhere near me. She's on the other side of the world. No threat to her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. It still is to me very, very bizarre reading through all of this, and even just now talking to you about it. The fact that the police have gone through that. Obviously a big part of what they're trying to do, and sometimes they achieve this, is they're trying to change your behavior. They're trying to make an example of you as well. They're trying to change other people's behaviors and say, hey, we're gonna come after you. The police are saying that in this whole situation, that they're telling the people of New Zealand, be careful what you say online. We will come after you. You know, even if you think you're anonymous, we will find you and we will come after you. And so it's suppression. It's active suppression of freedom of speech by the New Zealand police.
Yeah, and after seeing this OIA, I've had a little bit of time to digest it, and I had to get to all these acronyms, OSIG and others, you know, all this intel. So I did a bit of a search, and I actually found that there's a report commissioned. Actually, I don't know who it's commissioned by, but it went to a lot of government agencies by Livensall Waldman was the author, but it was an Ian Axford NZ Fellowships report. And they cover all this about what police are doing, how it may impact people's ability to, think, really, to engage in public discourse. And they say the only protections that New Zealanders have against this the Bill of Rights Act, which does not cover privacy, they point out in the report. There's so many concerning things in the report released in June this year, and it's actually on the Privacy Commissioner's website. I think it's under their blog section. You can see the whole thing. But police are creating fake profiles and trying to engage with people online to gather information, potentially. Well, it doesn't actually say why, but it says it's perfectly fine and it's happening. There's five roles police can do. The first one is just front-facing, using a police, I am an officer, blah, blah, blah. And it gets down to role five, which is engaging with members of the public. The report itself is called Social Media Monitoring by New Zealand Agencies, Policy and Legal Landscape, Risks and Considerations, 98 pages long, but the last 30 pages are just references. And it's really very concerning. Even the summary on the privacy commissioner's page there.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see if we can follow that up as well and have a good look at that. But I've heard bits and pieces of this report before, and I've never really fully put it all together into like, what are the consequences of what the police are doing? How is this actually going to impact people in the real world? And you're a good, I mean, this is a perfect example, a terrible example of what they're actually doing with their entrapment systems and other kinds of covert surveillance and so on. Now, initially, you basically deleted your account online. You know, you freaked out as anybody would and thought, I'm not going to do this anymore. But you've actually come back on Elon Musk's free speech platform X. Tell us a little bit about your thinking behind that. Why did you come back?
Well, to be fair, there's nowhere really else to get news apart from X. And you're right, I deleted my account on the 8th of August when the police first visited. in an attempt to, I don't know, get them to back off or whatever. I just didn't want them coming around at my house like at all, really. But yeah, coming back on, it is to, I have not posted, that's not true. I have posted once, but quickly deleted. I don't have any posts on the account now. I just don't feel comfortable. I have been advised by some people that, yeah, the police will be looking hard at you still while they're making this decision about you. And in, you just don't post anything online in terms of social media. So it's had a, definitely a chilling effect on me. And as I told Cameron, it's like, well, on the week after they first came around, like, okay, I'll never post my opinion on social media again if this is one of the consequences of it. You know, if this is a potential outcome of me posting my opinion online, then I'm not going to do it.
And this is a massive chilling effect, and will affect other people as well, thinking, oh, I'm not going to share my opinions. I'm not going to be able to say what I really think because the police might punish me for it. And I'm not saying anything illegal. I'm just saying something that goes against the woke agenda. I'm saying something that goes against what the progressives are doing to the country, and maybe the bureaucrats and the insane leftists who control the police department, they're going to come after me because of what I'm saying online. And that is a terrible situation for New Zealand to be in. The police so far have only really said, oh, we're going to review how we handle the non-hate crime incidents. You know, that you've mentioned have been, you've got actual proof of some of them that have been recorded against your account. And, but it's not good enough for the police, right? Because obviously, as you mentioned, they've got this entire system of so-called their open source intelligence gathering department, and they're going through and making sort of Soviet style dossiers on people behind the scenes, and they're actively looking to either entrap or engage with or track people who have any non-left-wing, non-radical left-wing, non-far left-wing political opinions, and the police could be watching you. And that's a very scary situation for the country to be in. That's going to have a massive chilling effect. And the government really, you know, we're supposed to have this slightly right-wing government. They really need to do a lot more to clean that up, because that's unacceptable.
I agree. And I was at the Free Speech Union AGM last Saturday, and I went to the legal discussion with David Seymour and Paul Goldsmith, and I think it was Morris Williams from the council. I might have got his last name wrong. He's quite a, yeah, but they were all happy and smiling and cheerful, saying what a great legal free speech environment we have in New Zealand. The framework's there. There's no hate speech laws. There's none of this. It's all rosy and peaches, right? And I had to wait till the end and during question time, and I kind of looked David Seymour and Goldsmith in the face and gave it to them, you know, maybe not both, but that's probably not the right thing to say while my firearms license is being under review. But, yeah. You know, I gave it to them how I thought, right? And they're saying, hey, you up there smiling, saying we've got freedom of speech. I'm at home, you know, with police with guns barging through my door saying you've said the wrong thing.
I've been in a similar situation to you, you know, years ago now, 2020. Same thing. Police rummaging through my home, not because of anything that I said online, but because some crazy, insane leftists went and made false claims to the police, and they, of course, the police themselves made false claims as well. Similarly, like in your situation, and then you've got police running through your house. And like I said, in my case, not because of any specific thing I said, but because of my entire political views. And I should say it was something specific that I said, because I actually had made a submission against the Arms Amendment Bill, the bill that the Jacinda Ardern government was ramming through Parliament in 3 days. And I said, oh, this is terrible. I oppose this. Here's why I oppose it. And then they use that as a justification to go after me. And here we are. 4 years later, 5 years later, same thing happening to you. Different situation, but the same thing is happening. Yeah. It's still happening. It's been happening. And then it is sad. It is terrible. It's bad to see David Seymour and Paul Goldsmith sitting up there saying, oh, yes, we have freedom of speech and everything's so great. I'm sorry, but we have real people in this country who still now have the police going through their house, armed police going through their houses because of things that they've said online that are completely legal and entirely non-threatening. In fact, that are just the I want to say, completely normal. We're saying things that people have always believed for thousands of years. And it's only in the last 20 years that, for some reason, you're now no longer allowed to say these things.
Oh, exactly, mate. I think
they should do better.
I think back to my granddad, mate, who was a World War II veteran. And, you know, he carried firearms in the UK when he got back from the war. But I'm sure he held a lot of opinions like this and was no threat to society whatsoever, right? But yeah, in terms of your case, I thought that was, you know, literally a case of political persecution. Like you're persecuting someone who's taking part in the political process because of their views. Once I read up about your case after September happened to me, I was really appalled. And I was appalled that the police were able to get a warrant, I believe, in that case. It was nuts.
No, that absolutely was. And there's still some legal stuff that I'm pursuing, but very, very difficult. You get into court and the judge is like, well, you know, if this had been like about drugs or whatever, yeah, it would be okay. You know, then we could say that the police are being unreasonable. But, you know, because it's firearms, because if you'd been doing something illegal, yeah, then this might be unreasonable for the police. But because it was something completely legal, like firearms, you know, we're going to have to think really hard about this and make all kinds of, you know, blah, blah, blah. Very, very difficult to deal with. And, you know, in your case, and maybe with a few other people, it's going to, you know, we're going to have sit down with some of these ministers and politicians. Hopefully, I may end up in that situation where I have to try and arrange that next year. I'm sure you'd be keen to be part of that and sit down with them and say, hey, this is what the police are doing to us. You need to take some action.
Oh, mate, I've got no qualms in saying things face to face and speaking my mind face to face. I mean, I work in construction. My friends out of work are tradies or farmers or butchers. You know, this is how we talk to each other. I'm not going to change my beliefs. I'm just going to keep them off social media because the police don't like them, right?
And then you don't have free speech in your country anymore. And you can't have your politicians sitting up there saying, oh, yes, well, how wonderful, we have freedom of speech.
Yeah, I suppose you can't have it both ways, but until we change it, I mean, I just can't put my wife through that or my kids through that. I can't, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you do change what you do because you have to, because you're protecting your family, and that's the most important thing to do. And yeah, at the same time, you're wondering, oh, how much can I still put on the line, reasonably speaking? It changes your life. Yeah.
Mm. It is a tough place to be. And I mean, my oldest boy is, well, he'll be 15 in a few months, but he did his speech a couple of years ago on the importance of freedom of speech, you know, and he knows what's happened to his dad, and he's read the comments and goes, is this all you said? Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My 5-year-old daughter, he's even asked me questions about what's happening on that time and why I didn't protect mother or mum while the cops were trying to force their way into my house. I mean, this has had an effect on my family, and they, you know, ask, why are the police here? And I have to say, well, daddy told a joke that the police didn't like. I literally telling them.
Yeah. You know. Yes, I know. And you want to hand your children a better country. And yes, it's a little bit hard when you're like, well, you're growing up now, you're going to have to help me fix it. Unfortunately. Yeah.
I think that's
maybe we can fix things for the grandkids. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a long fight until we can get these. Well, you call them HR ladies. I suppose in my line of work, we call them HS ladies, health and safety ladies. But
yeah. I mean, they could be as is sometimes said online, it could be the women of both sexes working in HR. Yes. There. I suspect there are a lot of men involved. No. Yes. Disrespect to women. No misogyny here. I'm just joking. But the whole situation has got to that point where you have this extremely, what is it always called? Like they used to refer to, I remember Helen Clark when I was much younger, they would call her Auntie Helen, kind of to refer to this behavior of like the overbearing auntie. And in fact, I saw somebody sent me some advertising on the trains that they were running, which is similar, kind of like, don't do this because you might upset auntie, or imagine if your auntie were, kind of this very, very female coded way of dealing with the world, and everything is continual lectures and everyone's being treated like children, right?
It's other people's business and things like that. I've heard particularly the Lotus Eaters from the UK, they have a podcast. I've heard it being described as longhouse culture, as in, you know, everyone living under the one roof with the matriarch there, you know, make sure everyone gets the meal and knows everyone's business. You got no privacy. This sort of,
Yes, I don't believe I've mentioned the Longhouse on Reality Check Radio. I'm not sure anyone has brought that up before, but I'm glad you have. And that is something you will come across online if any of the listeners have never heard this term about the Longhouse or being longhoused. Refers to exactly this behavior where the government is the overbearing mother and all of the citizens are treated like little children. And then everything is managed and all kind of conflict has to be avoided. And so if you've said something offensive or you've done something offensive or there's anything rough going on, then all of that gets stamped down, which if you're a mother dealing with little children, that may be okay. But yes, we're not little children. We're adults and this is a country.
Yeah. And I just want to reinforce that I am a law-abiding, taxpaying citizen who's never, you know, I haven't broken the law. I've never taken anything from the state. I've paid taxes my whole working life. And, you know, I am the sort of person who votes and the government get their authority to govern because I vote, right? It's, you know, it is citizens like us where the authority comes from for them to govern. They can't just sit up in the ivory towers and go, no, you know, in the building I've built them. They can't look down on the peasants and go, look, you guys, you know, you follow our orders. No, they are elected to follow our orders, right? And it's consistently, New Zealand has shown that it does want freedom of speech, although I'd love to see the latest polling on that and who wants censorship or whatever. But I don't think we can find it anywhere. We get lip service to it. But when the rubber meets the road, the state can do what it wants with its law enforcement arm. They can come and do whatever they want and enforce whatever they want, and there's nothing you can do about it.
We see this a little bit in the United States at the moment with the recent election and Elon Musk, who we've talked about, having being put in part of this Department of Government Efficiency and kind of going to war with the bureaucracy. This is something that Donald Trump learned in his first term as well. Is like, yeah, maybe you control the government. Maybe you have some senators and congressmen. Maybe like in New Zealand, you've got MPs and you've got ministers, but the bureaucracy churns on and the bureaucracy is controlled by our enemies. And as long as the bureaucracy remains under the control of people who are hostile to freedom of speech, who are hostile to anything that's conservative, anything that's right wing, anything that's common sense. So, you know, the sensible centrists, they're locked out in the cold here with us. And as long as the bureaucracy is controlled by these left wing extremists, which that's basically what the police department, these police departments, they're controlled by left wing extremists, and they continue to push those agendas. And it's like this with almost every government department. There has to be a proper clean out, otherwise nothing's going to change. And it doesn't seem to me like ACT, National, New Zealand First are actually taking this seriously. Don't see this big clean out happening. They can say, yes, we have the best laws in the world, but as long as we have far left extremists running these government departments, it's not going to change.
I agree entirely. It's not really the laws you have, it's who's enforcing them, and they'll pick and choose what they want to enforce. And even if they're acting entirely outside the law, they'll continue to do so because who's going to stop them, right?
Yeah, that's right. And they need to be held to account. And a little small part of that is having these conversations on Reality Check Radio and you know, we'll be working behind the scenes, and we'd love to have feedback from the listeners, by the way, if you're still listening and this conversation has gone on for a good while and I've gone off on a little bit of a rant here, but I am I'm fired up by this, and we're going to keep this going behind the scenes as we have been in these past few months. And this is not the end of it. And you know, thanks for coming on the show, and thank you for being so open about everything. Actually, you know, sometimes you're worried people might be a bit embarrassed to try and discuss all these things that have gone on. And I thank you, even though you're pseudonymous, you're still being very, very transparent with what's gone on. And I wish you the best with getting a positive resolution here. As you've mentioned, the police are holding back on a decision. You know, from when you got the Free Speech Union involved, they sort of backed off. They still haven't made a decision. You know, how long do they need? And how many weeks does it take for them to decide, this guy, he was posting satire on the internet and he's got freedom of speech and he's harmless. They're just sitting on it, you know, hoping, maybe hoping that you'll trip up, maybe hoping something else happens. Maybe they're embarrassed. We need to keep the heat on, keep this issue live, keep talking about it. And thank you very much for doing that.
No, I appreciate that, mate. And thank you for the support RCR has shown, and yourself in particular, since that event, and we discussed, you know, how it happened to you, and it has been a bit of quite a bit of a help with me personally. So I do appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm glad to do it. Happy to, you know, as I said, I've been through this before. I get fired up when it happens to someone else. And I'd like to add a special thank you as well. You mentioned Simon Anderson already. He's been great from the beginning there as well and helping you. And Cameron Slater, I've mentioned as well. He's been great helping you as well. Plenty of other people, of course, across the board, across RCR, across the Free Speech Union and so on. But I think you know, they deserve some special mention, and we will keep the fight going.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Gareth, for joining me. And to all of the listeners, we will be right back after this break.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.